You are now tuned into the sounds of the Ultimate You Podcast, a place where we discuss fitness in every aspect that you can imagine, along with the various complexities that life has to offer. So if you want to see what's up, then pull up and have a seat, because the more that you tune in, the more that you'll be changed into the ultimate athlete that you were created to be. What it is, everybody. It is me, BDB, back with yet another episode of the Ultimate You Podcast. And numerically speaking, this is a very special episode. Why is that? Because this is the 100th episode of the Ultimate You Podcast. So I want to take this time to celebrate 100 episodes. I want to thank each and every person that has taken time out of their day to jam the Ultimate You Podcast. And if it is your first time, welcome. What a special episode that you have joined us on. Oh, today's going to be a great one. Today's going to be another great episode. If it's your second time in above, welcome back. Well, okay, hold up. Y'all ain't ready for that. But for real though, welcome back to the Ultimate You Podcast. Glad that you can make this podcast at a part of your day. And of course, want to show love to everyone around the world, inside and outside the good old US of A, jamming the podcast. So today's episode is titled Fast Food Love. That's what that is. We got to be people that we cannot be allowing ourselves to be sucked into the vortex of this world. We cannot be immersed in the deep oceanic waters of, you know, that just keeps us flowing in a current that just goes forward and forward and forward. And, you know, the current, it just pushes you forward. But you and I, we ain't supposed to be built that way. We built different. If we really had the right perspective on things, we would know that we were built different. We were built to go against the grain. We were born to go against the grain. But we got to come to that fruition. We got to come to that addition. We got to come to that information of that stuff. The reason I say all that is because the love that we have shown for a very long time, it not only has it come sour, it has grown very, very cold. And it's time to heat up that love. It's time to heat up that love in the oven. Not in the microwave, but in the oven. And I'm going to talk about it here on today's episode. So I hope you strapped in. I hope you got your seatbelt, your sippy cup, maybe a pen and a notepad if you want to take notes. If you're driving, stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Let's catch that green light. And let's get right to it. All right, so now that you have sat at the table and you're ready to eat, let's dig right in. And I'm going to start off by saying that in order for us as people to be ultimately effective, we need to be reminded that we got to be people of order. We're going to say that again. We need to be people of order. And when I say we need to be people of order, I'm talking about just there is an order to how things are to go. There is an order in terms of priorities and how things should be done. And of course, today's episode, as you have seen, it is entitled Fast Food Love. Now, the objective of today's episode is not necessarily to achieve and apply fast food love. However, nonetheless, I would like to go out on a limb and say that a lot of us have demonstrated fast food love. Now, before I define what fast food love is, I want to give a little bit of reasoning of what has inspired the title Fast Food Love. Well, there's been a couple of things. If you want to talk about the fast food aspect of it, well, recently, a few weeks ago, I gave myself a rule. I said, BDB, you're going to give yourself a rule that once a week, you're going to treat yourself to fries from Chick-fil-A just once a week. Now, I can say way before that, like way before that. I mean, I wouldn't go a whole bunch of times a week, but I can remember that there are probably times where I went more than once a week. But I was never like a Chick-fil-A fiend or anything like that. However, I do enjoy their fries. And so a few weeks ago, I made this vow, so to speak. I said, okay, once a week, I'm going to enjoy Chick-fil-A fries. And when I go in on these fries, y'all, I go in on these fries like surgery. I usually get three. Sometimes I get four of them. Like, they're that great to me. Yes, I know someone is twitching their eye right now. But usually that's all I get, just the fries, and that's it. Now, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. To me, that doesn't matter. As long as it's once a week, that's what it's all about. And when you think about Chick-fil-A, think about how orderly they are. There's that word again. I just said moments ago, we need to be people of order. Now, you, the listener, I don't know if you've ever been to Chick-fil-A or what your Chick-fil-A experiences have been like for those that have been to Chick-fil-A. But every time I go and every time that I'm observant of how Chick-fil-A runs their operation. Now, of course, 9.9 times out of 10, I'm doing the drive-thru thing. That's what I'm doing. And every time I go there, I notice, as I'm sure you've noticed too, they always have a system. They always have a system in place. As sure as the sun rises and as sure as the sun sets, they have a system in place with how things are to be done. And not to say that other places don't have systems, you know, like McDonald's or Burger King or any restaurant, any grocery store, any other business or corporation. Doesn't have to be limited to just food type of places. But I don't know about y'all, but the way that it comes across to me personally with Chick-fil-A, because it could look like there's a bunch of cars in the drive-through area. But every time that I've been through the drive-thru, I would like to say most times I've been through the drive-thru, I mean, I'm not sitting in one spot for longer than 30 seconds, give or take. You know, it's not like I'm sitting there waiting forever. It's not like driving through a Jack in the Box on a late night tip. It's nothing like that, which I have done that many, many years ago. And some of you, if you've experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the college days and you're hungry, nothing else is pretty much open. You're going through the drive-thru and sometimes even that line, even the hug around in that line is pretty long, right? But with Chick-fil-A, one thing is they have people outside taking your orders. They got the little machines to run your debit card, to run your credit card. And of course, most of them, they're trained to say, have a blessed day or something along the lines of that. And hey, can we just take a moment to give props to all of those people that work at Chick-fil-A? And I'm talking about the ones that stand outside, with all due respect. I'm not talking about the ones that work inside. I'm talking about the ones that work outside. And I say that because, hey, every day ain't going to be the same when it comes to weather. There are going to be some days where it's too hot. There's going to be other days where it's going to be cold or it's going to be very cool. And, you know, it might be raining on some days. Now, I know that they'll have little shelters to huddle up under, or maybe they can go inside if they need to. I don't know how that works. Maybe some of you know better than I do. But my point is, just for them being out there, much props and much respect on that. But anyway, my point is, every experience that I've had at Chick-fil-A, it's always very orderly. I get there, I'm behind, you know, maybe a car or two. And not too long after that, I'm up next. I'm not having to wait for an extended amount of time. That's one of the points I'm making, okay? And then when it's time to do the hug around after getting my order, when he's like, B, what's the hug around? What is that? When I say the hug around, I'm talking about when you turn that corner, whether if it's like a horseshoe type of maneuver, a horseshoe type of direction, or if it's just like a sharp turn. Maybe it depends on how the Chick-fil-A parking lot, the Chick-fil-A establishment is designed. All right. So, and then when I pull around, by the time I pull up to the window, it doesn't take long for my order to be given to me. Most times they'll have someone outside. They even have people hanging outside the window where you pick up your food. Sometimes they'll have more than one person. Maybe it just depends on what Chick-fil-A location you're going to. So you see what I'm saying? All these little nuances, all these little things that they have in place to ensure that you get the order that you created. Now, of course, now sometimes there may not be a person out there. And there have been very few times where they ask me to pull up in the parking lot and wait for my order, which that's totally fine. I totally get it. It's okay. Sometimes maybe there's too much business going on and I'll have to wait. Now, in the very few times that I have had to wait, that's been no longer than 5 minutes. I mean, I didn't count, I didn't track or keep record, but I'm guessing, give or take, that it took no longer than 5 minutes. All right. So my point is, as I said, they're very orderly in what they do. And if we're going to be people of order, we need to be in order in terms of knowing how life operates. And one of the biggest paramount things that we must hold near and dear in our hearts is that we must be people not only filled with love, but we need to be filled with love so much to the point that it overflows. See, we got to get past this point of love just filling up to the cup, the love just filling up to the brim. No, the love needs to overflow. And in order for love to really overflow, it needs to be on your mind every single day, all throughout the day. And let's go even deeper than that. Let's get more nitty gritty detail. For love to be on your mind at all times, it needs to be in the front of your forehead. It needs to be right in front, not in the back of your mind, not laid out in the hammock in the backyard of your house or in the backyard of wherever you live, not laid out in the back, taking a nap, going to sleep, drooling all over your shirt, not paying attention, not being aware. I get it. We have those moments. There are times when we let our guard down. We're not as aware. We're not as keen and not as into the moment, into the person that we are encountering, the person that we are having a conversation with. It happens. We lose focus a lot of times. It happens. But I'm talking about over the course of a large part of your life, at the very least, it should be that love needs to be the focal point of not just how you interact with people, but in everything that you do. Because I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter how gifted and how talented you are, and it matters not how many followers you have on social media. It matters not what your wardrobe game is looking like. It matters not what the eloquence of your speech, or maybe lack thereof, perhaps. It matters not what you've accomplished in this world. If love is not involved, if love is not the driving force behind what you do. And in essence, I'm saying, if you do not possess love, if you do not have love residing on the inside of you, then guess what? It equates to zero. Zip, zilch, nada. And so you're like, B, what you talking about? What you talking about? Well, for some that don't know, there's a few different dimensions of love. Okay, so if you want to go Greek with it, you got philia love, which is more or less, that's talking about brotherly love type of affection, like deep friendship type of love, deep friendship type of affection. Okay, when I say philia, I'm talking about philia. All right, then if you want to go eros with it, that's more so talking about a sexual kind of love. And really, I'm not even talking about that kind of love. And I'm glad I mentioned that. I'm not even really talking about, when I say love, I'm not really talking about dating love, marriage love, things of that nature. I'm not even really talking about that. I'm more so talking about loving your neighbor as loving yourself. Okay? Loving your neighbor as loving yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, love in dating, when it gets to that point, let me make sure I point that out, and love in marriage, which should always be the case at all times, like loving your partner or loving your spouse, I should say, that is a dimension of love that exists and that should be, and that should continue to prevail in that respect. Absolutely. But I'm just saying, for the sake of this episode, I'm not really focusing on that type of love. So when you talk about eros, like I say, it's a sexual love. And then you have what's called storge. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. All right. S-T-O-R-G-E. Okay. That is talking about like a family type of love, whether it be loving family members or just loving like a parent to a child. Right. That kind of love. See, the reason why I'm pointing out these different dimensions of love, if you will, because there are a lot of us out there right now. Look, all due respect, we post about it on social media, about showing love here, showing love there. We might say it in a different kind of way, though. No matter how we communicate it, there are a lot of us that lack the true and perpetual and the sustaining definition and meaning of what love really is. Now, those dimensions of love that I just mentioned, absolutely, they're very important and they're very much needed. But aha, there's a level of love that's above all of those. And this is really, really the real deal, Holyfield of love that I'm talking about. And I'm talking about agape love. Yeah, we talking about agape here. Now, if you look at it, it looks like agape, but it's pronounced agape love, A-G-A-P-E. Now, this is a type of love that a lot of us are lacking. This is a type of love that a lot of us are lacking. And with all due respect, this is also the type of love that a lot of us currently do not have, currently do not possess. You may hear about it. You may have read about it. But it's one thing to hear about it and read about it. But do you possess it? Does it reside in your mind? Does it reside in your heart? Does it reside in the fiber of your being? Is it the driving force behind everything that you do? Because now let's define this. Now, I know agape is nothing new. A lot of us have heard of it. Maybe perhaps some of us haven't heard of it. Agape love is essentially where you are. One of the biggest things about agape love is it's selfless kind of love, where you are genuinely interested, you know, or I would say genuinely interested, genuinely committed. Genuinely committed to the interest of other people. There's different ways that I could define it, but I believe that is a strong way that I want to communicate that. There is a, let me make sure I slow down and say this. There is an honest, a forthcoming, a sincere, a pure commitment towards your interest of other people. Now, let me say this. There are times when it starts out as an interest and then it kind of gets to a commitment level. Now, that's going to depend on your relationship with said person or said party, or, you know, due to the dynamics of whatever your relationship is with the next person. OK, so let me just make sure I put that out there. So, again, it starts as an interest. And then depending on your dynamics of the relationship with that person, it's commitment. One thing we need to also remember is that As soon as you and I were born into this world, there is this fight. There is one of these battles that we have throughout the day, all day, every day, or maybe throughout multiple times a day. And that fight is we are fighting like this flesh and spirit kind of thing. What am I talking about? We are fighting this, you know, doing for others and then doing for ourselves. OK, in those appropriate moments, in those appropriate times. All right. Because it's one thing to, you know, to do things for yourself and to gather things for yourself. But it's one of those things. When is the last time that you have truly had some form of an experience of doing something for somebody else and not expect anything in return? That's another way I'm going to define agape love. When you love someone, you are demonstrating and applying love to that person and not expecting anything in return. There's no attachments to it. Right. I mean, there's many examples of that. I mean, it's going out serving the homeless people, not expecting anything in return. All right. And then sometimes it's helping out a friend, not expecting anything in return. Sometimes it's helping a coworker with a task, not expecting anything in return. And there are a lot of times where it's going to be sacrificial. Agape love is going to be sacrificial. Sometimes you may have to drive out of your way to help somebody move. You may have to drive 30 minutes, 40 minutes out of your way to go help somebody move some boxes, move some furniture, move whatever kind of equipment, move whatever is needed to move from one apartment to the next, to move from one house to the next. Agape love can look like so many things. And I'm telling you right now, especially as single people, agape love is something that needs to be practiced every single day. Because let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are, even if you are a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a prophet, evangelist, it matters not. Because guess what? You could have, quote unquote, the best day of your life. Man, you show so much love today. You show love to this person. You show love to that person. You did an excellent job. But guess what? When midnight hits and that clock strikes, boom, snap of a finger, the next day hits, you got to start all the way over again from scratch. You got to start all the way over again from scratch because you never know what the next day is going to hold. You never know what the next day is going to bring you in terms of how you're going to show love. A lot of times things happen out of your control, and then you're going to have to have your spirit quickened in order to make sure that you respond in a loving manner. But in the society that we live in today, we've grown cold. And see, I entitled this episode Fast Food Love. But let me drop some truth on y'all. Now, let me just say, this is not just truth that I just sat in the basement and thought about, oh, man, you know, I'm going to share this on the podcast. That'll sound good. That'll sound deep. No, it is very, very true. How do I know? Because Jesus talked about it. That in these kind of days we're living in, I'm paraphrasing, people are showing love in a cold manner, or maybe not even showing love. A lot of us have turned cold. And for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason is, depending on who I'm talking to. But just, have you noticed, you the listener, I want to ask you, have you noticed when you're out and about doing your thing, people are a lot more short nowadays in terms of their attitudes. And let's be real, some of us, sometimes we are the people that are short with attitudes. I mean, just the slightest little thing, and just we set off, we ticked off, we teed off, we ready to go off on somebody. We ready to put it on social media. We ready to put this person on blast. And guess what? Make us look like the hero. Sometimes you may be right. Sometimes you may be wrong. But that's the age that we're living in. And so why am I saying what I'm saying? Like I say, these are the times that a lot of coldness has been penetrating the atmosphere. All right. And one way that we can combat that is that we got to be thermometers. I'm sorry, we got to be thermostats. We need to be thermostats because when we're thermometers, they're just going to be up and down and the degrees are going to be changing. But every person, every room that you step into, make sure that you are the one that sets the tone. You are the one that sets the temperature. You set the degrees in any atmosphere that you walk into. Matters not what's going on. It matters not what is happening in your life. You make sure that you are a thermostat in every single environment that you step in. You don't let nothing shake you. You don't let nobody shake you. And when you realize you've been shook, just go back to the drawing board, recoup, recollect yourself, get back on that thermostat trap, and make sure you stay where you're supposed to stay. See, here's the thing. When you get back on that thermostat track, there's nothing more powerful than peace and joy. There's nothing more powerful than peace and joy. But the thing is, when I say fast food love, now I'm finna define that. It's think about fast food in general, right? I gave you the example in terms of when I went through, you know, Chick-fil-A and all that stuff. And think about it, you know, from a fast perspective, right? Using microwaves, okay? I'm talking to myself here, right? Because I enjoy using a microwave. But in order for food to really be at its peak, it is best to slow cook that food. Put it in the oven. Let it preheat for about 15 minutes and then set it at the right temperature and let it cook and let it do what it needs to do. That's the problem. A lot of us, we're trying to do this half-hearted love, this half-butt love, right? And not really putting our all into it. And when I say fast food love, it's not necessarily just limited to just the amount of time you spend with a person, although that can be it too. Because sometimes your encounters won't be lengthy in terms of time. Sometimes you may only have 5 seconds. Sometimes you may only have 10 seconds. But for those 5 and 10 seconds that you are encountering said person in front of you, you make sure all your focus, all your energy, all your attention is on that person as if they're the most important person in the entire world. And that includes phone calls. That includes text messages. That includes email conversations, video conference calls, Zoom calls, whatever it may be. Lock in and focus on every single individual that you're talking to. And even when you're spending time by yourself, focus in on yourself. Focus in on yourself by way of God or through God, where you get your guidance from him. That's what I'm trying to say. I can tell you from experience, I can tell times in the past when I've been distracted. But when I'm zoned in and I'm focused on a thing, there's so much difference. It's tunnel vision, one track mind. And once you're done with that, you go on to the next thing. See, one thing is, as you've heard before, a lot of people say that we have either replaced or substituted or somewhere in between when we rely too much on conversations through social media and text messaging and this, that, and the other. There is a place for that. Absolutely. But when time calls for it, you know, still come together and say what needs to be said. Sometimes what I'm trying to say is there are examples where we will have conversations via text message, have conversations via social media. But those type of conversations need to be for a phone call. They need to be for a phone call. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say fast food love. We trying to be fast with it. We trying to get the quick fix. We taking the lazy route when it comes to love. You see what I'm saying? So we need to go the preheat approach. We need to go in the oven route. Cook that love in the oven for however long it takes. I don't know. It might take 30 minutes. It might take 45 minutes. It may take a few hours. But if you play the long game, when you play the long game and you play the tortoise wins the race, the turtle wins the race, slow and steady. Don't try to be Ferrari with it. Don't try to be Bugatti with it. Don't try to be some kind of hipster speed racing type of car that goes 200 miles an hour when you're showing your love. Slow your roll, sit your butt down, and mentally speaking, and maybe physically too at times, and focus on what's in front of you. What needs to be handled? What needs to be tended to right here in front of me with this task or with this person right here in front of me? I'm telling you, and when love is the driving force behind that, let me make sure I remix myself. When agape love, when limitless love, when ruthless and persevering love is behind that, is the driving force behind that, I'm telling you, it's going to change your perspective on everything. See, let me break this down for you. I want to challenge people out there, and really, also, I'm talking to the church people, my church people. Listen up real, real well. I think it's so great and inspiring that we can post the verses on social media. We can talk about it. We can text about it. We can put maybe some memes about it. A cute little image here, a cute little image there. This video, that video. Of course, there is a place for that. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge for those of my seasoned churchgoers, my seasoned Bible people. Let's go deeper than that. Let's go beyond that and craft out a revelation that you get from God, a revelation that you get from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you come across said individuals that you're going to come across in your life, there are going to be times where you're going to need to explain that love verbally or show that love, or maybe both in the same instance. Maybe sometimes you verbally say it and other times you show it. But my point is, craft out your God-given revelation of what love is supposed to look like. That doesn't mean you make it up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about let God show you how you're supposed to apply love, how you're supposed to communicate love. And I'm going to give you an example. I said earlier in the episode that when it comes to us as people focusing on love, each and every day, all throughout the day, the way that I have been shown to describe it, it's got to be in the front of your head. It's got to be in front of your face. It's got to be on your forehead. There is a game called headbands. I think I may have used this example in one of my earlier episodes of the podcast. There's a game called headbands, and you literally wear this headband, and on it there's a card, and I think you can play one-on-one, or maybe you can play teams. I don't remember. But the other person is supposed to... No, I'm sorry. No. The person wearing the band is supposed to guess what card is on their head. And the person in front of them, obviously, they're the one that can see what is on your card. And you, the person wearing the headband, you're supposed to guess what kind... I mean, I think you're giving hints. You're giving hints on what the card is. It's been a while since I played. But you're supposed to keep guessing until you get what is on the card. And so that's what I'm talking about. You can see it on your forehead to where people can see it on your face that you are a person of love, that people when they say it about you, not you, not because of what you say about you, not because of what you put on social media about yourself, not because of all these selfies and photos you may put up on yourself on social media, trying to look glamorous and handsome and this, that, and the other. That's all. There's a place for that, maybe. But that's not, no, that's not what I'm talking about. When other people, when your peers, when your colleagues or whomever, when they can say about you in some kind of way that you show love, that you're all, that you're consistent, that you're constant in your demeanor, and that you exude a certain level of confidence, exude a certain level of love that is streamlined. And the way that I would describe it is you got to jump in the streams of living water. I know I mention this from time to time. You got to jump in the streams of living water. Why? Because those streams are by a tree, and that tree is planted, rooted, firm, set in his ways, set in her ways. When you on the highway, someone cuts you off, stay set in your ways. Something don't go your way, business deal didn't go your way, stay set in your ways. Somebody cussed you out and dogged you out for whatever reason, right or wrong, stay set in your ways. Sometimes you might be like, all right, get this cheek too. Go ahead. And when you get this cheek, make sure you get it real good. Give me a good pop. I ain't gonna hit you back. I ain't gonna retaliate. But guess what? Get this cheek too. Some of y'all, some of us, look, man, some of us, we need to lose in order to win. Everybody, all of us, man, a lot of us, we trying to win. We trying to make sure everybody sees the dub, man. Everybody look like we trying to see the W, man. Look, the heavenly angels, they gonna see the W. Don't worry about that. Don't stop trying to worry about human beings trying to see the W, right? Don't worry about that. Let the spiritual side see the W. That's what's more important. That's what's most important. We trying to get the last word in. We trying to get the last word. We trying to get the last message. We trying to get the last, I told him, I told her, I showed them. No, it just makes us look like fools in those situations. So again, sometimes we need to lose in order to win. And we need to cook our love in the oven. So before you leave that house, make sure that you preheat yourself. Make sure you preheat yourself. Don't you dare walk out that house coming out of the freezer, acting like you Mr. Freeze, being robotic. Talking about, hello, I'm ready to show love today. And you answer that phone all average. Hello, how may I help you? No, when you answer that phone, with hypeness. You answer that phone with authenticity. Not that you need to scream and holler in that ear, but I'm talking about on the inside. There's excitement. There's authenticity. You smile. That when you are on the phone, make sure that you are smiling. Make sure that you are smiling, that the other person on the other side of that phone, they might think to themselves, they probably won't say it, but they will feel and they will know that you are smiling through your conversation, smiling through your words when you are talking to them. I want to challenge us to stop answering the phone in such an average manner. We ain't called to be average. We ain't built to be average. I don't know about y'all. I'm talking to myself. When I'm on the phone, I don't care who I'm talking to. I'm going to make sure that I go into love mode. Hey, how you doing today, ma'am? How you doing today, sir? I'm just speaking for myself. I ask them how they doing. I want to listen. I want to listen to what they're saying. I want to listen to what they're saying behind what they're saying. Some of y'all didn't catch that. Let me run that back again. I want to listen to what they are saying behind what they are saying. That's what I'm talking about. Oven. Slow down. Take the oven approach. Quit taking the fast food approach. Because when we take the fast food approach, we listen, but it's just in through one ear, out the other. Hey, I've been guilty of that. I've done that too. But when I go back later, I'm like, shoot, man, you know what? I think this person was trying to say this. This person was trying to say that. But when you miss the mark, at least be mindful of it. Be cognizant of it. And get your butt back in the oven. Preheat yourself 15, 20 minutes. And then let your love stay cooking for how many hours that needs to be taken, so that way you can display the love that needs to be shown to every person in front of you. Why? Because one of the biggest debts that you and I owe to one another is the love that we share amongst one another. See, one of the biggest problems that we've been facing for an extreme amount of time, I'm talking about a very long time, is that the biggest disease of all has taken the globe by storm for far too long. And again, we talking about bigger than the boo-boo 19. Bigger than the boo-boo 19, 18, 17. It doesn't matter what number you put up there. We talking about lawlessness. See, what you got to understand is that when lawlessness takes over the globe, because lawlessness has somewhat taken over the globe at a certain level, it obstructs your vision. If not careful, lawlessness can obstruct your vision. And see, when you take a shower, when you take a bath in lawlessness, when you just bathe in it, I'm talking about you put the lawlessness soap on it, you rub it in your hair, rub it in your eyes, all over your body, every single body part, make sure that you don't miss an inch. When you approach it in that manner, it obstructs your vision. Because what you think is right, it ain't right. And I'm telling you, when you think you have done a beautiful transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly, when you have altered that pure transformation and you have turned it into a transformation of your own, aka, in other words, when you have taken evil and you have packaged it up and wrapped it up and then presented as good and true, that's when we have a problem. That's when we have a problem. And another thing, when we bathe and shower in lawlessness, it put in some kind of way, we focus more and more on ourselves. Now, there is a place and there is a time to focus on yourself. But when you pass that line, when you pass that point of no return, so to speak, where you just concerned with more about you and your four, no more, you and your five, and we gonna hide. You and your six, everybody else hit the bricks. And you and your seven, we think we're on the stairway to heaven. When we are most concerned about ourselves and everything within our world, when we put that first, that's when lawlessness has obstructed our vision. That's when we've lost sight. We've lost perspective. And when we are contained within that bubble, that's how love is cold. That's why love has grown more and more cold over the years. It's grown so cold that we've built mansions. We've built glaciers. Glaciers of coldness. Glaciers of love. Each glacier represents just a stiff, rigid, very anti-fluid type of love. Love is supposed to be fluid. Real love. Sustaining love. Everlasting love. Love that is forever. It's supposed to be sustaining. It's supposed to be true. Love always stands the test of time. Love will go for 32 years and still be as fresh as a daisy on the very first day that it popped on the scene. Love will never go 32 years and it doesn't matter what number you put on it. Love will never go X amount of years and then start to get stale. It doesn't start to get stale. It never grows stale. It never is volatile. Love is never, not for one second, not for one iota. It is never volatile. Now, you and I, when we show love, there are times when it can be volatile. We can show love and call it pure and call it good. Why? Because it's us, right? Because everything we do is right. Everything we say is right. Some of us think that way. We're not going to flat out say it, but a lot of us, if we're being very honest with ourselves, a lot of us think that everything that we do, everything that we say, or if not everything, at least most things, we think that at the very least, most things that we say and do, we think they're right. And my friend, again, I tell you, that signifies that we've been hanging out in that bathtub of lawlessness for way too long. The only way to get up out of that bathtub, the only way to get up out of that shower of lawlessness is you got to be able to jump into that stream of living water, like I said before. Because if you are a person that you are looking at a map, and let's just say you're looking at a map, and that map is showing the world, and then that shows that there's dark parts of the world. What if you and I were representations of that darkness of the world? We ain't gotta go to certain parts of the world. We ain't gotta go to third world countries, or we ain't gotta go to certain parts of the US of A to find dark parts of the world. We can find dark parts of the world right where we're at. And better yet, or not better yet, but more so, we can find dark parts of ourselves within ourselves. When we don't acknowledge that, when we don't tend to that, that's when those dark parts of the world are going to continue to remain, unfortunately. But if you're a person, you're looking on that map, and you're looking on that world on that map, and you see that darkness on the world, you'll see some bright spots, you'll see some light. But the darkness that you see, the best way to combat that is when you go with me on this. When you start to see lights flashing up, when you start to see that bright light that starts to shine and glisten on those dark parts of the map of that world, that's when we can truly light the world up. So my question to you is, will you flip the switch in order to turn on the light in your life? Will you jump in the streams of living water with that tree that is planted, firm, fixed, rooted by that stream of living water? Will you make the choice to flip the switch and to keep it on? Why? Because there is no off switch. Will you make that choice? All right, guys and gals, so that is going to do it for today's episode. If you have enjoyed this episode, no matter what platform you're using, be sure to give a star rating, and also be sure to give a review as well, because I want to be able to hear from you guys and gals on what you guys are thinking about these topics that are discussed on this podcast. All right, and until then, we're going to catch you guys on the next episode, and we're going to give a sneak peek on what the next episode is going to be about, because we're going to get more in depth about fitness and church. Should churches talk about fitness and health and wellness? Should it be a frequent thing, or should it not be a frequent thing? Should it not even be in the churches at all? All in the next episode. So till then, stay tuned and stay pruned. Change and be changed. All right, guys and gals, once again, I want to say thank you for jamming this episode of the Ultimate You podcast. You are greatly appreciated. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I want to support this podcast, but I don't know how to go about doing that. Well, that's what the purpose of this is for. Now, if you want to financially support the Ultimate You podcast, you can just scroll down in the description of this episode, and you should see a link that has the word support in it. Just go ahead and click that link and then follow the instructions accordingly. And then you can donate an amount of your choosing. You can be a monthly supporter, or you can be a one-time donation supporter, or however often you choose to financially support the podcast, if you choose to do so. Or simply put, you can just support the podcast by sharing it with people, right? Because there's people all over the world that desire to be healthier in some way, shape, or fashion. Doesn't matter what their background is. Doesn't matter if they're working corporate America or if they're an entrepreneur or anything in between. We all want to live the absolute best lives possible when it comes to our health. So either way, whatever method you choose to support, I just want to say I thank you very much. I hope you'll keep riding with me on the Ultimate You podcast. As always, change and be changed.